Our scripture reading this morning is in the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 10. Listen for the Word of God. And Jesus entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He is gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I asked my preacher friends the other day, what's the purpose of preaching? And I had some discussions. But I got a question for you. What's the purpose of reading stories about Jesus? Why do we come together every Sunday and we have Sunday school lessons on stories and we have preaching on stories? Why do we do that? Is it about history? Is it about knowing what happened way back then, some 2000 and sometimes further back than that? Is that the purpose of reading the stories, to learn the history? Is the purpose to give us some emotional experience so that we can feel good? Oh, look at how nice Jesus was, or look at how scary God is, or whatever it is. Is the purpose of reading the story to have an emotional response to the things in the story? Maybe it's about information. There will be a test at the end. It will not be multiple choice. You'll have to know the stories of the Bible and what God said and what God did. Is that what we come for? So that we'll know information about what happened? Like, I didn't know that Jesus was short until I read this passage today. It said in chapter 19, verse 3, it says this, "And Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature." Wait a minute. That was Zacchaeus was small in stature. It doesn't really say anything about Jesus, so sometimes the information thing kind of throws us off. Ever wonder, though, why there's no physical descriptions of Jesus? Except for one thing. His wounds. The Bible talks over and over again about the wounds in Jesus' body. But other than that, we don't know how tall he was. We don't know how dark his skin was. We don't know anything about his makeup, his body. If we only read for history, or for emotions, or entertainment, or if we only read for information, we miss the most important thing of a story. And the thing that Zacchaeus found is the thing that we'll miss. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. That means that he was the boss of other tax collectors. You could make a lot of money being a tax collector. You could make a whole lot of money being a chief tax collector. He oversaw the work of those who were assigned to collect taxes to go to the Roman government. Jericho was on the way between the east and the west, a very important trade route. There were lots of merchants in Jericho. There were lots of people who would travel through Jericho, both to and from the east and the west. And to be stationed in Jericho was sort of like the ideal promotion. There were lots of traders and there was lots of money. And he was rich because of it. There were two basic ways the tax collectors made a little money. The first was to take a little extra and add it to the tax. So in other words, if you owed $100, I would say you owed $110, you'd give me $110, I would keep the $10 and give the $100 to the Romans. The other was to say you owe $100 in tax, but if you'll give me $75, I'll tell the Romans you only owed $50 and I'll keep the $25. Zacchaeus was despised. You have to understand that if you don't know that already, but nobody liked tax collectors. Nobody cared for them. They were seen as crooked and materialistic. The Jews especially had a hard time with tax collectors because tax collectors were taking money from the Jewish people and then giving it to the Romans, and then the Romans would use that to pay their soldiers to oppress the Jewish people. And if you were a Jewish person and you were in the business of being a tax collector, like some of Jesus' disciples were, nobody liked you. You were despised. It's evident in the text that he's despised. I mean, the crowd doesn't want to have anything to do with Zacchaeus, and a few of them don't want really much to do with Jesus, but you have to understand that this crowd who despised Zacchaeus crowded around Jesus as observers. You see them going with Jesus through the town. He's traveling through it. There's a crowd coming. I mean, it wasn't Netflix back in the day. There wasn't any NFL games going on Monday nights. A visitor in town, especially somebody of some notability, drew a crowd. And there were people who wanted to kind of see what was happening. Somebody said there used to be a guy, I don't remember it myself because it's probably before my time, but it was a comedian who talked about the church of what's happening now. I mean, that was interesting to them. What's happening now? And they're going along as observers. And you have to notice in the text that they don't make any room for Zacchaeus. Nobody's going to go out of their way to help Zacchaeus. They really reject him. I don't think it's just that they're indifferent to him. I think they notice him and they intentionally say, well, he's not getting my spot. I can barely see. It's the idea that they didn't want anything to do with him. And the crowd also assumed that Jesus wouldn't want anything to do with Zacchaeus. Their assumption was, this guy's despicable. He's a thief and a crook. He's working for the Romans, for crying out loud. Jesus has anything to do with God, he won't have anything to do with this man. So they felt justified, I think, in dismissing Zacchaeus. And then Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. They can't believe it. It says in the text that they all groaned and muttered, "He's going home with a sinner?" They're disgusted. They're frustrated and disgusted with Jesus. They say, verse 7, and when they saw it, that Jesus had invited himself over, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." They can't believe it. They thought they and God were on the same side. Who are we more like? Are you more like Zacchaeus or more like the crowd? I thought of some ways to contrast those two. The crowd was easy to go along with, but Zacchaeus was determined. Somebody says, water always follows the easiest route. If your spiritual life always follows the easiest route, you're going to end up in a mud puddle too. The crowd just went along to get along. Zacchaeus had a purpose. Zacchaeus was determined to have an encounter with God, even to the point of embarrassment and shame. Just to see Jesus, he was willing to sort of humiliate himself by running and climbing childish things, unbecoming of a Jewish man. Maybe the social rejection that Zacchaeus experienced, maybe that made him a little less concerned with what other people thought. Maybe that negative experience of being rejected and looked down on, maybe that's part of what made Zacchaeus say, I don't care what they think. I want to see him. I want to see who he is. I want to encounter him. The crowds were watching Jesus. Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. There's a world of difference. Do you watch Jesus or do you seek him? Do you just wonder what he's up to? Do you come to church to see what might happen or do you come seeking? When you go to prayer, are you just praying about what God's up to or are you seeking to be involved with him in what he's up to? Verse 3 says this, that Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus is. It's a precise translation. A lot of translations just say he wanted to see who Jesus was. But the correct understanding is that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus is. Jesus doesn't change. The choir sang about it last week. Jesus doesn't change from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If you see Jesus, you don't see how Jesus was. You see who Jesus is. When you read these texts, you don't see a story of something Jesus once did. You see a story of who Jesus is and how he does things. Zacchaeus was seeking who Jesus is. The crowd was critiquing who Jesus saves, and Zacchaeus was being saved by Jesus. Which do you do? Do you want to be saved by Jesus or do you want to sit around and judge who Jesus associates with? That's what they're doing. They are not taking part in the relationship with Jesus Christ. They're critiquing who Jesus is relating to. They've got their idea of who's good and who's bad, and Jesus doesn't abide by it. And they're disgusted and frustrated and disgruntled. They're critiquing it rather than receiving it. The crowd got in the way of Zacchaeus. And crowds still get in the way of people seeking Jesus. First of all, people can reject us. That's a painful thing. And if certain people in your life reject you, especially your parents or people in your family or people who were supposed to fulfill a commitment to you, if those people reject you, it's so easy to feel like everybody rejects you. It's so easy, especially when your society or your friends and your family reject you and say you're not good enough, it's also easy to come to believe that God must think that too. That I'm not good enough. That God rejects me also. The other way that the crowd interferes with us getting closer to God is that being with God most often requires that we be different than the crowd. To be like everybody else probably means that we're not that much like Christ. He's constantly going against customs and social expectations. He's breaking religious rules and obligations. He's constantly acting in a way that's contrary to the way most people do it. He said of his disciples, "You will be salt and light." And if you lose your saltiness, your difference, what good are you? If you go along with the crowd, it probably means you're no different than the crowd. And crowds are easy to get caught up into. Almost got a few of you dancing because I got a few kids dancing during the retreat and it made it easier for some of the adults to get out there and dance a few too. Crowds pull us in and sometimes they pull us apart. The biggest threat to a crowd in your life in terms of your spiritual life is that crowds are always easy to hide in. You can always hide within a crowd. You can always get a look at Jesus over somebody else's shoulder. You can always listen to see what other people might say about Jesus and their contact with Jesus rather than you going and having contact with Jesus. It's one of the reasons why in American culture, there are few distinctions between those who say that they're followers of Jesus Christ and everybody else. Because we just stay as part of the crowd and we hide within. Zacchaeus is our example. Zacchaeus is a story told only in Luke. Luke is very interested in talking about how Jesus found the lost. Zacchaeus was called by name. What you have to realize is that when Jesus called him by name, Jesus made it personal. It wasn't Zacchaeus was part of a crowd and, hey, you all. It was Zacchaeus. And it wasn't, hey, you all, let me come over to your house today. It was Zacchaeus, I'm going home with you. Zacchaeus was personally seeking Jesus. I don't think he expected much more than maybe to overhear something Jesus was saying and to get a glimpse of him with his own eyes. But he wants a contact point with God. How should we live? How should we live in light of that truth? Do you know the one thing that Christianity offers that no other religion on the planet can offer? You know the one thing that makes us distinctly different from any other faith? We offer an encounter with a living Christ. We offer an opportunity for people to meet Jesus personally. Buddha can't do that. Muhammad can't do that. Only Jesus Christ is alive and in the world today. But yet, as Christians, do we live like we believe that? Do we ask for God's input? Do we seek God's encounter? Do we expect to interact with Jesus on a personal level? Or like our skit showed us, are we so busy doing the things that we're doing that we're just doing the work and we're not interacting with the boss? If you want to change your life, nothing will change it more like an impersonal encounter with Jesus Christ. And you have to seek that. You have to ask for that. You have to knock. You have to keep on knocking. Zacchaeus also was personally responsive to Jesus. He responded and accepted what Jesus was trying to give him. The Bible said it this way, that when Jesus said, I'm going to your house today, come down quickly, then Zacchaeus immediately behaved and he came down quickly. It says he received him rejoicing, or he hosted him gladly. He was like, oh, that would be awesome if you'd come over to my house today. He responded to it. Christians who do not receive what God wants to give them are weak Christians. God has things to do in your life. God has things to give you like forgiveness and peace and strength and hope and opportunity and challenges. God has things to do in your life and to give you. But if you don't receive it, it won't change your life. And some of us are very weak because in our relationship with God, it's all one way. It's all about what we're doing for Him. And we never receive of all the many, many things that He does for us. So not only did Zacchaeus personally seek Jesus and ask and seek what he needed, he also received what Jesus had to offer him. But the other thing that was different is, and this is always the case, when you encounter the living God, something in you changes. There is no better blessing that I could bless you with than that you would contact God. That you would have an encounter with the living Christ. Because an encounter with Jesus changes us. We are healed from things that are broken. We are given things that we didn't have. We are restored to places that we lost. We are encouraged and strengthened. There are so many things that happened. And Zacchaeus received those things. He was personally changed, and when he stood up to say, I give half of everything I own to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody, And another translation is, and for everybody I've cheated, I'll give back four times more. He was required to give back what he owed plus 20%. What he's saying is, I'll give back four times anything I've defrauded anybody. He wasn't doing that to earn his salvation. He was doing that in response to his salvation. He was doing that in response to what Jesus had done in him. He was personally changed, and it showed up in the way that he lived. How many sermons, how many songs, how many hymns, how many messages do you hear that go inside your head, rattle around for a little while, and never make it to your feet? They never make it to your wallet. They never make it to how you spend your time. They never make it to what you do. Zacchaeus was changed because he acted on what God was doing in his life. If you want to follow Zacchaeus' example, then you have to act on whatever it is that you think God is leading you to do. I'll admit, sometimes it's not so clear. We don't have a physical Jesus standing in front of us speaking auditory words, "I'm going to your house today." But God has His ways of communicating. And trust me, you cannot be so dense, you cannot be so dumb, you cannot be so stupid and ignorant that God can't communicate with you. Because that's the only kind of people He's got to talk to, is people who don't get it and people who don't understand. And so don't let yourself think that your inabilities and your weaknesses somehow create an obstacle to God in His ability to talk to you. That's not the problem. The problem is that we hear a nudge, we hear an indication, we hear an invitation, and we just don't have the guts and the faith and the courage to do it. And we don't change. We just hear, and we don't do. In verse 3, we're told that Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, but he had some obstacles to overcome. The word seek is zeteo in Greek, kind of like Mateo, except with a Z. Zeteo. And it means to seek in order to find. Not to be kind of open-minded. It means to seek with the purpose of finding, to demand or insist upon a thing, to require it. That is to seek it. When you take a check to the bank and you sign your name on, you hand it over, you're demanding that they pay you, that they honor the check. It's not that you say, well, I hope this turns into a $100 bill someday. You seek it. To insist on it. And if we want to find Jesus, we're going to have to seek like Zacchaeus sought. Right? We're going to have to go looking. We might have to embarrass ourselves. We might have to do things that are a little uncomfortable, like climb sycamore trees. But what I want you to realize is that at verse 10, one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in Scriptures. In verse 10, Jesus says that He was seeking Zacchaeus. He says, I've come to seek and to save. I've come to insist on finding. I've come to seek to find. I've come to demand and require that the lost be found. Jesus is saying His whole mission was to seek and to save the lost, the perished, the undone. You may have some obstacles to overcome. Pain of rejection might interfere with you having Christ in your life. Or maybe you're short, and we know God doesn't like short people because He wouldn't have told Randy Newman to write that song about short people, you know. Short people got no reason. All right. Maybe that's part of your problem. Or maybe you're just hiding in the crowd. Maybe that's the reason. But you can't say that Jesus doesn't want to be found. Jesus is looking for you. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a personal interaction with you. Not even just on a weekly basis. Not even only on a daily basis. But Jesus wants to have a moment-by-moment walk with you. The crowd was disgusted that Jesus went home to stay with a sinner. But that's how Jesus rolls, you know? That's how He rolls. He invites Himself into the lives of sinful people. And His love that comes with His presence changes them. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. Today I must stay at your house. Jesus is always about today. Today I must stay in your house. And then in verse 9, Jesus declares, today salvation has come to this house. Maybe you've been seeking Jesus. Maybe you need more God in your life. Maybe you realize that on some level. I hope some of the stuff that I've said today has shown you some of the ways to go about that. Keep in mind that Jesus is seeking you too. Do you know that today Jesus will come home with you and bring salvation with Him? Do you know that today could change your eternal destiny? If you seek Him, you'll find Him. For He wants to be found. He's out looking. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can meet Him today. You just have to risk some embarrassment. You may have to stop believing that you're rejected and that you're unacceptable. Maybe you need to keep in mind that Jesus goes home with sinners. We don't read these stories just for history. We don't read them just for information. We don't read them just for entertainment. We read these stories so that we too can see who Jesus is. He's alive. Not just who He was, but who He is. And one of the things that Luke tells us is that Jesus is still out seeking the lost. He's still insisting and demanding and requiring that they be found. You'll have to step out from the crowd and personally receive Jesus. You can't be part of the crowd and have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to respond as an individual. After all, He's calling you by name.